Kabbalah says the Zion Mishnah Bay is Ketzad. The Mishnah wants to know an example of what we said in the previous Mishnah. And we mentioned in the previous Mishnah that a kli, no matter what size, that if ma'al or mace that is suspended above a mace would become tummy from the mace. Even the smallest kli, if it's put over a kever, it would become tummy. So the Mishnah gives an example. Kush who talk of b'kaisa. Kush is a spindle that's used for spinning. And it's thrust into a wall. Kechati zayit mitasa. Ukechati zayit me'al gaba. Afa picha ena mechuvana in tummy. If there's half a gazayit from a mace directly underneath this spindle, and there's half a gazayit from a mace directly above the spindle, it's suspended above the spindle, even if those two half gazayim are not aligned, the half gazayim that's underneath it is on one end of the spindle, or the half gazayim that is suspended above it is suspended above the other end of the spindle, even so, the spindle becomes tameh because it was ma'al on mace. It was suspended above and underneath a mace. Even though the two half gazayim are in two different places, one half gazayim underneath it, and one half of Kazayas above it, we would combine the two half Kazayasim to be Mitami, the curse. The curse would be Tami for 7 days. Nimsa maybe at the Tumah Latmo Bakoshu. It turns out that the Tumah would be brought to a Kli, no matter what size, if the Kli is directly above or underneath the mace. Hatarah Shuloyva by Shalak Seifu. Somebody is selling pottery that is traveling with a paw on his shoulder and hanging to the paw on both sides. This is the pottery that he's selling. If one end of the paw was ma'al kever, went over a kever, the paw became tummy for 7 days since it was suspended above a kever. The kelim that is hanging to the other side of the paw that was not suspended above a kever would remain tar. Now this paw, even though it has the circumference of a tefah, since it's not a tefah, why? It does not act as oil to spread the tumah underneath it. So therefore, the kelim that is hanging to the other side of the paw remains tar. Like even though we had in the previous Mishnah that a person who's carrying a paw that has the circumference of a tefah, if that paw would be suspended over a mace, that person would become tummy for 7 days. But as we said in the previous mission, our kelim that is underneath the paw would not become tummy. Therefore, these kelim remain taut. And yesh b'saf b'seach tefach tmeh. But if the paw that is carrying on the shoulder is a tefach wide, in such a case, the kelim that is hanging on to the other side of the paw would become tummy for 7 days. And since the paw is a tefach wide, it acts as the oil to spread the tumah to the kelim that are underneath. Hataludiyesh akrevet. Namely here, namely dirt. Now the dirt that is near either a city or a road. And the city or the road is near a basic floor, is near a cemetery. Echad chadashot, the echad yishanos tmeos. Whether this mound of dirt is chadashot, it's a relatively recent mound of dirt, or whether it's yishanos, the mound of dirt has been around for a long time, this mound of dirt is tame. We have to assume that a napho is buried there, that a miscarried child is buried in that mound of dirt, and therefore, we have to treat that mound of dirt as being tummy. The reason being is that since the mound of dirt is near a city or a derech, when a woman has a miscarriage, she would take the miscarried child herself to bury the child in the mound of dirt that's near the city. So that's why we have to assume that it's tummy. We have to assume that a woman buried her miscarried child in the mound of dirt. And even if this mound of dirt is hadashos and not been around that long, we still have to treat it as being tummy. But if the mound of dirt is a distance away from the city, in such a case, a woman does not go herself to take her miscarried child to bury it in the mound of dirt, since the mound of dirt is far away from the ear or the deaf. So instead, she would take her husband with her. And once her husband is going with her, they're not going to bury the child in the mound of dirt. Instead, they'll take the child all the way to the base hakfaris. In such a case, the din is different. Chadashos tahareis, v'yishanos tameos. If the mound of dirt is chadashos, hasn't been around that long, then it's tar. Because as we said, they will not bury the nephil in the mound of dirt. But if the mound of dirt is yishanos, it's been around for a long time, in such a case, we have to treat it as tameh. And even though at this point, the mound of dirt is far away from the city, so we don't assume a nephil is buried there. But maybe in the distant past, that mound of dirt was closer to an ear or a derech, and a woman did take her nephil to bury it in the mound of dirt, so therefore we have to treat it as being tameh. Ezehi Krova. Hamisha Mama, what's considered a mount that is near a city? Hamisha Mama, 50 Amma, if the mound of dirt is within 50 Amma to the city, we have to assume the mound of dirt is Tummy. Vishana, Shishim Shana, Giver Rabbi Meir. That which we said, that a mound of dirt that's far away from the city, if it's Yishana, if it's an old mound of dirt, that we have to treat it as being Tummy. What's considered Yishana? What's considered an old mound of dirt according to Rabbi Meir, if it's 60 years old or more, then it's considered an old mound of dirt, and we have to be afraid that within the past 60 years, the mound of dirt was closer to a city or a derech, and we have to treat it as being tum. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kreva she'ein kreva mimena, v'yishana she'ein adam zeicher. Rabbi Yehuda does not give specific shiur as to what is considered kreva and what is considered yishana. Rabbi Yehuda said, a mound of dirt that's called kreva is a mound of dirt that there's no other mound of dirt that's closer to the city than this one. If this is the closest mound of dirt to the city, then it's considered kreva. It's considered a mound of dirt that's close to the city. But if there's another mound of dirt that's closer to the city than this one, even though this mound of dirt is also within 50 amos of the city, this mound of dirt would not be considered kreva, since there's another mound of dirt that's closer. If a woman would bury her miscarried child, she would bury it in the mound of dirt that's closer to the city, not in this one. And what's considered yishana? What's considered a mound of dirt? That is an old mound of dirt. Any mound of dirt that nobody remembers exactly when this mound of dirt came about, as far as everybody can remember, the mound of dirt has always been there, that's called yishana. And since nobody can remember when this mound of dirt came about, we have to be afraid that at some point the mound of dirt was close to a city, and therefore we have to treat the mound of dirt as being tummy, even if it's far away from the city. Somebody who finds a mace for the first time, meaning to say, somebody discovered a mace that was buried in a place that nobody was aware of, that there were any mason buried there. Mushkov kidarko. The mace was lying in the normal way that Jews bury their mace. As if the mace was not buried in the normal way that Jews bury their mace, so we can assume it was a guy. And the following dina would not apply. No love esfusasa. It is permissible to take away the mace and move the mace and rebury him in a different place with the tefusa, with three tefachim of dirt that's underneath the kever. This is the halacha that when you move a mace, you have to move some of the dirt from the kever with them. This is learned out from a puzzle. Now, normally the din is that once a person is buried, he should not be moved from his place. But there are exceptions to the rule. For example, in this case that we found a kever, we found a person buried in a place where there are no other kvaris as far as we know, and people pass by over here, and maybe Kohanim would become tummy from this mace. So if we can assume that the mace was not buried there with intention to keep him there, maybe he was buried there in haste with the intention to move him afterwards, in such a case, it would be mutter to move the mace as long as you take the tefusa, some of the dirt, underneath the kever. So therefore, the chacham allow you in this case to move the mace, since you only found one kever here, we can assume that he was not buried there with the intention to keep him there. Mutter shnayim, note one, best tefusa. If you find two kvaris in the same vicinity, the same thing would apply. We can assume that they were buried there in haste with the intention to move them afterwards, so therefore you'd be allowed to move both mason as long as you take the tefusa, some of the dirt, from the kever when you rebury the mace. Matzah shleisha. But if you find three mason buried in the same vicinity, in yesh bein zeh lezeh me'ar ba'amos ba'ad shmoina kemalei mita ukoibra harei zu shchunas kfar. If the distance between the first and third mace that you found was anywhere between 4 and 8 amos, this is considered a shchunat kfaros, a neighborhood of kfaros, meaning to say a place that was used as a burial ground. And therefore it would be usur to move these mason at all. Since this is a burial ground, it is usur to move the mason, since they were buried there with intention to keep them there. Now the reason why the mason said that the mason were found from 4 to 8 amos away from each other is because in those days they used to bury mason in ma'aros, in caves, and the cave would generally be 6 amos long. So therefore the mason would be buried in this cave from 4 to 8 amos away, meaning to say that since the mara is 6 amos long, maybe the mason would bury diagonally, and the mara diagonally would be 8 amos. So if we found the mason within 8 amos of each other, they might have been buried in the same cave, and therefore we have to assume that they were buried there intentionally. But if there are more than 8 amos between the first and third person that you found buried, they obviously were not buried in the same cave, since the cave was 6 amos long and 8 amos diagonally, so therefore it's impossible that the two mason were buried in the same cave. So again, we can assume that this is not a shchunas kfaros and that they were buried there with intention to move them. We would be allowed to move the mason in that case, but in this case, that they were buried within 8 amos of each other, they might have been buried in the same cave. So since they were buried there with intention to keep them there, it is usur to move the mason at all, even if you would want to take the tefusa, the dirt from the kever, with Bodek mimenu ulahalon esrim amma. Now in this case, that you found three mason buried within 8 amas of each other, not only are you not allowed to move those masons, but you have to go ahead and start checking for other masons in the vicinity. As it's very possible, since we found three masons, there are other masons buried in the vicinity, and we want to check it out to make sure there are no kohanim, walk over the other mason. So you should check 20 amos in each direction. The reason why the Mishnah tells you should check 20 amos in each direction is because when the mason were buried in those days, they were buried in caves. As we said, each cave was 6 amos long. And there usually would be more than one cave in the same vicinity in which they buried Mason. There would be one cave that's 6 amos long, and then there would be a chater, which was generally 6 amos long. And then there would be another cave, which is also 6 amos long. Altogether, 18 amos. And sometimes the Mason were buried diagonally in the cave. And if they were buried diagonally, that would take up another 2 amos. That would be 8 amos for the cave, plus a courtyard, which is 6 amos, plus another cave, which is 6 amos. Altogether, 20 amos. And we don't say that you have to check 22 amos away, as maybe they were buried diagonally in both caves, which would be 22 amos. The Chum were only concerned that they were buried diagonally in one cave. So therefore, when you find three masons that were possibly buried in a cave, you have to check 20 amos in each direction, and maybe there's another cave here with kfaros. And if there's another cave here with kfaros, we want to find it so we can mark the place where we found the mason, so that Kohanim will not walk over these masons. Marta Echa Besofes from Amma. Now, if after checking 20 amos in each direction, you do find a mace, you found one mace that was buried within 20 amos of the original three mason that you found, Bodek Mimenu Ulahalon Esrim Amos, that would be mechayev of you to check another 20 amos from the point that you found this mace. So Reglayim Ludover. The reason why you have to check another 20 amos is because there's good reason to assume that in this vicinity there are many kfaros. She'ilu mitchila matzo nutlo ve'esfusasa. And if originally you had found this one mace buried in the ground, you wouldn't be mechuyev to check it all around this mace to see if there are other mace in there. Instead, you would be allowed to remove the mace and rebury it somewhere else with the tfusa, with the dirt underneath the kever, that is the din. Like we mentioned earlier in the Mishnah, that if you find one mace, you're allowed to move it together with the tfusa. So therefore, in this case, even though when you check 20 amos in each direction, you found only one mace, you're not allowed to move that mace. Instead, you have to continue checking another 20 amos from that point. The reason being is that since you had originally found three mace, and now you found a fourth mace, that gives us good reason to assume that this is the place where mace are buried. So therefore, you cannot move that mace at all. Instead, you have to check another 20 amos. Maybe there are more mace buried in the vicinity, as maybe there are more ma'aros, more caves, in which mason are buried. When you find a fourth mason, you have to continue checking another 20 amas.